Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
So I just want to recap a little bit. So this week we talked about, or last week we talked about vision. We talked about knowing where you're going and what you're trying to accomplish. And for me, this becomes really dangerous. Because I am a type A personality. I will relentlessly drive to accomplish a task at all cost. Amen. Type A people here. A lot of them are out searching. But type A people are the people who are relentless in their pursuit. And in some ways, that's a great thing. If you're looking for somebody who's lost in the woods, you want somebody who's relentless and never going to give up, but is also systematic. If you have somebody who's heading up an organization or leading a company or whatever, you want somebody who's type A, because generally type A people don't crumble under pressure. They get deeper and deeper in pursuit, right? If you are married to a type A person, first of all, I just want to say congratulations. You have somebody that will pursue you the rest of your life. I also want to let you know that if you've never watched a Pepe Le Pew cartoon, you don't really understand a type A person. So when you put all this stuff together, you figure out that what God intends to be your greatest asset oftentimes can be your greatest weakness at the same time. And so when we talk about vision, remember I talked about how really at Thrive, what we try to do is we try to play Legos every week. If you've ever played Legos, you just got to snap them together. It's one block at a time. And I was never patient enough to like build like I had friends that would make like the airplanes and like the Starship Enterprise. And I mean, they would go through all this. I was never patient enough to follow the instructions. I would just put a bunch of Legos together and then tell you what it was when I was done. But here's my question. If you were trying to build something out of Legos, but you started pulling random pieces out, what you would end up with is something that would never stand, it would never last, it would never turn out the way you wanted it to. And so what I think is this, is that a lot of people over time, they've gone to church and they've tried to build their faith, but they never connected the Legos one Lego at a time and put them all together where they actually made something. Does this make sense? So what we're trying to do through this Jesus Loves Me series is just get, which I know we're not really in it because I got tired of looking at the graphics, but we're kind of still in it. But we went all the way back to the beginning to stuff that you may have missed at some point in your life. Whether if you're a new believer, maybe you never heard it. But if you're an old believer, maybe I just missed it somewhere. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that. Like, but I'm mature enough now that I don't feel like I can ask the question because then I sound dumb. I'm going to say this. One of the principles that we believe in is that this is always a place you can grow, meaning that you can ask a dumb question because you don't know what you don't know. And we would rather see your faith build. And we're not going to judge you because there's stuff we don't know that we should have known. And can I be honest with you? What I'm getting ready to teach today is not something I've mastered. It's actually what I'm walking in. Because I'm type A and I got vision. I know what I want my life to look like, my family to look like, my ministry to look like, my faith journey to look like. I know what I want my finances to look like. And I get up every day and I go after it. Like I tell people, you may have more talent than me, but you'll never outwork me. Does that make sense? I've got people that are waiting on me to fail. You can't identify with that because nobody wants to see you fail. Nobody wants to see you stumble. Nobody wants to, right? There's nobody who's pulling against you. But in my life, I have rooters that are literally watching my life, waiting on me to make a mistake so they can say, I told you so. And my thing is this, if you're watching my life, I'm going to give you a show. I'm going to give you something to watch. Because as we started this church, people said, oh, it'll never last. I said, oh, we got something for that. And then they said, man, you can't grow real Christ followers in this system. Oh, we got something for you. And then we're like, well, you have to do small groups this way, or you have to do discipleship this way, or you have to do worship this way. Or you, man, in the South, you can't have this kind of church. And here's the thing, you can't have a big front door and a small back door. You can't win the lost and have disciples. Jesus did it a little different, so I figured if he did, we might as well swing at it. So here's the thing. I never struggle with vision, but can I be honest with you what I struggle with? I struggle with rest. I struggle with the rhythm of rest. JC, will you come up here just for a second? Can I get you to jump on the drums? Brand, I should have warned you because you're all the way in the back. It's okay. I'll just use JC's right here. Can you do me a favor? Can you just, on the kick drum, will you just, or on the snare, will you just play a 4-4 beat? Okay. I don't even know what a 4-4 beat is, but it sounded musical. And can I, that's one I know. So I'm like, can you just play, you know? Yeah, thank you. Thank y'all for cheering for my lack of rhythm either. So can you just, whatever, I don't care what you play it on, but just give me a 4-4 beat. Hold on, but wait a second. Whoa. Not only is, can you bring the kick down just a little bit? I think that's what's feeding. I want you to notice something in music. In order to make music, it's not only the notes you play, but it's the pauses between that give the rhythm of the beat. So here's the thing. There's a rhythm. There's a cadence to life that must include pauses. Play that one more time. First of all, that's pretty. I like that. That's nice. Okay, I'm good. Thank you, sir. Knuckle up from a distance. But so here's my thing. I wonder though if in our so my rhythm of life sounds more like metal trash band, where it's always a beat as fast and as hard as you can go with no stop. And you can do that for a season. You're good. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, you're good. I'm going to ask you to play death metal at church. Yeah. So here's the only reason I knew he was still sitting there is Liz looked like, are you? Anyway, yeah. Is my honey coming back? Or that's what happens when you're engaged. But so what happens is this, is my life sounds more like death metal, where it's all constant with no stop. And man, as I began to look at this, I told my wife, I said, I'm looking for the rhythm of rest. For me personally, I'm not judging you at all. Because here's what I believe. And I teach this, that all change in life starts with me and then they. When we went through the election, I said, man, it's one thing for us to tell them what they're doing wrong. But my question is, what do I need to see different? How do I need to view people different? Like, we can argue on the issue, but is the rhythm inside of election that I need to, right? Like, how do I stay healthy? And so when I looked at this, I was like, man, I need to find rhythm. But when I looked in the hearts and lives of the people that go to this church, I was like, man, there's some people that are in our church that need to find the rhythm of rest. So afraid our kids are going to grow up and somehow not be perfect, so we stick them in everything. We've got so much going on in our life that there's no margin of rest built in. Anybody remember when you learned to write and you went to school and there was a little red line down the left side of your paper and one down the right side of your paper, and your teachers would tell you, they're like, hey, stay within the margins. Remember when you would get to the end and you had to work a sentence in and you started writing really small so you could fit it? Well, what I would do oftentimes is I'd start writing small, and if I knew I still couldn't do it, rather than just flipping the sheet over or adding a piece of paper, I would just keep writing right on out to the margin. To the edge of the paper. You know what I found in my life is that I'm writing right to the edge of the paper and then wondering why I'm frustrated and wondering why I'm tired and wondering why I just don't feel good and wondering why I'm frustrated and wonder. And can I be honest with you? I think this. So here's what I want you to do. Is it okay if I just teach this morning? And I'm not giving you when you leave here, you're not going to be like, how did he ever find that in Hebrew? What depth did he, like, that's not even the point of today. But I'm going to ask you this. So in the Bible, it says this. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When I read that, I'm like, that's relatively self-explanatory. Like, I don't need to put anything else, no matter what it is, in front of God, or it becomes a God. And if I do that, I'm not in right relationship. Would anybody argue that? Would anybody argue that it says this, that you should make no idols? That you shouldn't build anything in your life, again, that takes the place of God. There should not be anything you worship more than God, and you shouldn't create anything that you worship. I don't think anybody argues with those. Let me ask you this. If I said this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means don't throw God's name around if you're not praying or talking about him in earnest. Anybody argue with that? Anybody? Pretty crystal clear. Then it goes on and it says this. It says, you know what? You should honor your father and mother. I mean, I don't know anybody who go, you know what you need to do? You need to be a little jerk to your parents. See, when we begin to read what God commands, we don't argue. If I said this, you shouldn't commit adultery. What about this? You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor. You shouldn't covet what your neighbor has. Anybody argue with those? But then God says this, and this one somehow, we think all of a sudden God lost his mind. I just gave you 9 out of 10 commandments. The 10th says this, not in order, but in my order, because I had to pull Sabbath out of its spot. But it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember that built into the rhythm of your life should be a natural pause. Now, here's where I messed up. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are found, right? But as we read these, what I find is this whole rhythm of don't. It's like a downbeat. And then you get to the Sabbath and there's a pause. And then some more don't. And I sit there and I really lean back and I go, man, so God wants me to rest from my week. I really was brought up, even in seminary, that was the way we were brought up to think. Man, God created the Sabbath because he wants you to take a break and recover from what you're doing. Now, I think there is some truth in that, right? But when I go back to Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3, I want you to see something that maybe you've never seen before. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3, and it says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts with them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he'd done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So he blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all the work that he had created. Now here's what was ironic to me is on day one, God created light. Then God goes, man, that's good. Then on the second day, he created the atmosphere and the firmament. And on the third day, he creates dry ground and plants. And on the fourth day, he creates sun and moon and stars. And on the fifth day, birds and sea creatures. And day six, land animals and humans. On what day? Sixth day, God created mankind. You know God's first instruction to mankind? Now rest. From what? They haven't done anything yet. They were made. That's like getting a baby out and go, now you need to rest from all that work. Mama needs rest. Mama needs rest, a sandwich, a cookie, and a bag of chips. But the baby literally, all he did was travel. And I sit there and I'm like, God, so if I'm God and I'm not, right, I'm going to create everything in one day. Because I'm God and I freaking can. Get it all done and then rest. You know what God, and this to me is amazing. God took his time to create in 6 days. Why? Because he's establishing rhythm. It wasn't because God could have said, let there be, let there be, let there. I mean, he's only got to speak 7 sentences. But he didn't. He spoke one and then sat back and said, it's good. I'm not finished, but it's good. And here's what I wonder. Because now, can I start putting the Legos together? So if we have vision for where we're going, do you think that God was surprised in everything he created? No, he had a vision for what he was making. He was going to make the heavens and the earth, and he was going to make land and sea and firmament and the heavens, and he was going to write. Man, I know what I'm doing. So there's a beginning point when God said, let there be, and the first thing was, which was light. And then you're going to get all the way to the last thing, which God said, let there be, and it's Sabbath, it's rest. But then there's this big gap between where he started and where he was going to finish, which is where we spend most of our life in anything we do, is in the gap. The first thing God did was he said, let me teach you how to celebrate the gap. From where you're going to where you want to get to. What if we stopped trying to pack everything into our life that we possibly could and begin to celebrate the task that we had for today. I'm not trying to kill it. I'm trying to be consistent. Leaving time at the end of each day to celebrate what I accomplished. When was the last time you went home, ladies? If you work, you went home and you just sat down in the recliner for 30 minutes and said, you know what? I'm going to reflect on what I did at work today. I did a good job. Mama, I'm hungry. Well, you know what? You're going to be hungry in 15 minutes. Get you a cookie. You ain't going to die. It ain't going to ruin their dinner. I've fed a young man a cookie ain't going to change the world about halfway. When was the last time we didn't rush to do the next thing? I'm not saying don't be driven. Man, that's never going to change. It's in my genetic code. I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to think of how to listen. I listen to leadership podcasts as I go to sleep. Right before I listen to the Bible, I listen to at least one leadership, because one of the main things that God's called me to do is lead our church. And I'm like, man, a leader that's not learning it and leading, a leader that doesn't read can't lead. Know where you're going. But in that also has to be driven in this rest. Okay, God, what all did I accomplish today? At the end of my day, one of the things I'm trying to build in is lay in there and go, God, what did you let the works of my hands accomplish for you? And can I just slow down and be thankful for it and not just do it and check it off and go to the next task? Because here's what I do. I have what's called meeting Mondays, and I meet with as many people as I can. So some days I have 10 meetings on a Monday, and I'll start at 6 a.m., and I will not get done till 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And what I'll do is I'll get done, I'll hit the last one and go, check, I'm done, I'm going to bed, I'm getting a shower, I may shove some food in my face, hallelujah, the day is over. I wonder how many of us are just trying to get through another day. Because in our day is not built in the rhythm of rest. Does this make sense? God said, I'm going to create stuff, but I'm going to create it in a rhythm. And then at the end, I'm going to create mankind, and I want to teach him how to rest. You know why I think it's the first thing that God taught us how to do? Next to money, it's the next hardest thing God's ever going to ask you to do, is pause. One, because God wants you to keep the day holy. But inside of vision, here's where blocks start connecting. So I've got vision, and I've got rest. Notice that God did not ask Adam and Eve, Adam to rest from anything. He told him to rest to something. Imagine this. God sits down and says, Adam, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in a garden, and I want you to have dominion over it. Now, let's sit down and take a day off. What do you think it's going to look like? See, to me, I think that Sunday is not only in our rhythm of life from resting from what we did, but giving space to look towards where God's taken us. Because if you don't stop long enough to look up, how are you ever going to know how to look forward? Does that make sense? I used to wear a badge. I preached for 5 years straight and never took a day off. And I was like, man, I preached with migraines. I preached with the flu. Come on, preachers know what I'm talking about. I couldn't even see the Bible. I was just quote. I did do a funeral one time and had a migraine and could not see my Bible. I knew that it was in the Bible, and I guessed at the. It was like God said something like, you know what I mean? I was like, it was totally like the message according to me. I didn't even give scripture text because I literally couldn't see my Bible. I was quoting it all from memory. But I used to wear that like a badge of honor until I understood that what I was doing was actually sinful. If God gave us 10 commandments, if I told you, you know what, I'm gonna do every commandment but steal, you wouldn't think very much about me. I'm going to do every commandment but adultery. I'm going to do every commandment but honor my parents. I'm going to do every commandment. Fill in the blank. We would almost crucify somebody for those inside the faith. But if I go, man, I'm grinding it out. I'm working 7 days a week. Look, we would celebrate that. We would actually in our culture begin to celebrate what God calls sinful. Because we don't want to stop and let God be God. I wonder how much less stress we would have if we stopped once a week just to reflect on what God had done and have a vision for what God will do. Man, my family's falling apart. When's the last time you stopped and got a vision for it? When did you slow down long enough just to, when was the last time you stopped long enough to just enjoy them? Because a lot of times we get to view our family as a series of tasks. Got to get the kids up, got to get them ready, got to get them out to school. They come home, I got to feed them, bathe them, beat them, do the homework, slide them in bed. Because if they don't get a full 14 hours, they're cranky. That's just teenagers, that's for real, man. I'm just saying. So I sit there and I'm like, man, could it be that we not only need to rest from, but we need to rest to? And if all you're working into the rhythm of your life is hitting something, do you really have a rhythm? Do you really have a rhythm to your life if you haven't put in rest? JC and Liz are getting married in their pre-marriage counseling, and it was forever, dude. That was like 18 weeks of pre-marriage counseling. But one of the things we talked about, man, is as you go into the rhythm of your wedding, stop. And we said, do y'all want to see each other before you get married? It's bad luck to see the bride before you get married. Well, first of all, if you're dependent on luck for your marriage, you're screwed before it starts. All my married people said, let me tell you what will get you through your marriage. God, faith, and commitment. Ain't nothing else going to get you through it. Because you ain't always going to love them. No, there can be days you want to put them in a sleeper hold. You don't want them to go. You don't want to kill them. You just want them to black out. You don't want to leave them. You just want to be gone for a little while. Am I being honest? But commitment will keep you there. Faith will keep you there. What Jesus commands you to do will cause you to live and lead your marriage well. So I looked at him and said, man, on your wedding day, are you going to build in time to connect? Whether you see each other or you just hold hands, are you going to build a pause moment in your wedding? Are you going to build a pause moment after your wedding? Actually, in their ceremony, in the rhythm of it, we've actually built in a couple of pauses where we say, you know what? Pause and connect. Forget that these people are here. You already got their gift. When Wesley and Brianna got married, one of the best weddings I've ever been a part of. But there were some natural pauses there for Wesley and Brianna and even their kids to connect and just have some them moments. Man, when they dedicated their children before the Lord at their wedding, man, I went, wow, what a moment. Wesley, to start the wedding, actually knelt down, and when Xander came down, he cried. He cried like I cried like a baby. I ain't even gonna lie to you, and I'm not a crier. I was like, yeah, dearly beloved, I don't even know, right? Because there's a, but you know what? Can I say this? There's a refreshing to experiencing every emotion, and one emotion that we have is rest. And I noticed that I couldn't even complete sentences, because my mind was already three steps ahead of what I was talking about. And finally in the season, I've come to go, you know what? It's a couple days this week, I left early. Jesus stayed on the throne. The church didn't burn to the ground. It's okay. And what I figured out was, man, when I give my mind a moment to rest, wow. Yesterday I had some real pressing things to do. I'll just tell you, I had taxes to do. And instead, I spent the day with my son, and we played all day. We accomplished nothing productive. We went to the candy store. You know the one in Mebane? Sell silencers. Anyway, we went to Cracker Barrel and ate breakfast. We went and looked at trucks. We played Wii golf. I mean, we did, like, really unconnective, like, we accomplished nothing. We had a ball. And it did my mental health, it did my heart so much good just to spend that time with my son. I wonder when God looks at us, if he says, son, I just want you to take a day off and play with me. I mean, you spent 6 days working for me. Can you take a day and us just play? Yeah, but the Bible said when I was a man, when I was a boy, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, let me tell you, that means stop acting childish. It's like this. Pick some of the big ones. Men don't go out and get drunk. Boys do. But is there anything wrong with playing a video game. No, if your work's done, if it's your day off, take a day off. You want to go play golf, play golf. You want to play video game, I don't care which. Men need to play. Can I be honest with you, women? Men need to engage in activity with you. It's connective. I don't care if you like drinking coffee. I don't care if your thing is bowling. I don't care if your thing is tiddlywinks. I don't care if your thing is going to the pool. What your all's thing is, bike riding, taking a walk together, doesn't matter what it is. But find your connective thing outside of the house, the children, and the bedroom that connects you. Because then when you're in those places, when you're in the house, the boardroom, or the bedroom, you're way more connected. Because everything in your faith journey is going to be built, I believe this, from the rhythm of rest. There needs to be time and space where you go, not today. What are we going to do today? Nothing productive. We're going to rest and just be before the Lord and be before each other, and we're going to enjoy it. Now, recap real quick before I give you an asterisk to this. I believe that the Lord not only wants us to rest from, but wants us to rest to. He wants to rest from what we've done to the vision that He's calling us to. Now, here's the thing. This is one of those messages that you're going to be like, oh, that sounds great, but I can't do it. Can I challenge you with something? If you tell me you can't do it, I'm going to think you're choosing to sin. You can do what you elect to do. You groan. Now, you may be in a season where you go, man, financially, health-wise, there may be a caveat, something that's really pressing in on you. Now, I want to read this to you. Jesus said this in Luke 14, 5 through 6. Luke 14, 5 through 6. He said, and he said to them, which of you, having a son or an ox that's fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they couldn't even reply to these things. Let me tell you something. My kid falls in a ditch, I'm going to get him. If somebody's lost in the woods, I'm going to go look for him. I think not only is that a biblical thing to do, I think that's an honorable thing to do. I think God finds favor in it. There's a season for that, right? Here's the thing, though. I used to tell my family that I'm sorry I'm so busy. It's just a season that I'm in. That was a lie. Not an intentional lie, but it was a lie. Because a season has a beginning and an end. You should not have an 18-year season. Well, as long as we've got kids, it's going to be this way. No, you need to manage your children a little, right? Kids, on Saturday morning, if you get up before 8 o'clock, don't come in mom and dad's room. Go get you a bowl of cereal. We had to wait on cartoons to come on, bless the Lord. You've got a whole freaking channel. You've got YouTube. You just occupy yourself. Don't run the stove. Don't run the matches. Don't cut your little brother or sister's hair. Other than that, we'll see you between 8 and 8:30. By the way, those dog shock collars are only $30 on Amazon. Great training. For your dog. So my point is, my wife and I will not answer a phone call if it's an emergency on Saturday morning before 10 o'clock. 9:30, 10 o'clock. We try not to. Because I want to create a rhythm of we're not in a hurry on Saturday morning. Stay in bed. Now, here's the problem. I get up naturally at 6:30. But you know what I've done the last couple of weeks? I've just told myself, I'm not getting out of bed before 8:30. Now, if I have to pee, there's an exception to the rule. Like, that's an ox in the ditch, right? Because if I wet the bed, this whole thing is shot, right? My wife is not going to go for it. There is a time to pull your ox out of a ditch. You can be in a financial strain. You can be in a health situation. Can we just go, is it legitimate? Legitimate is not because you didn't get it done on Saturday. All my type A people went, huh. Type A cannot be, I mean, the reason cannot be just because you want to. For it not to be sinful, it has to be valid. Not in your eyes, but in God's. Is this too harsh? Now, if you're in a job that requires you to work on Sunday, fine, take another day off. But on one of your days off, take a day off. Refresh your soul. Can I be honest with you? I really feel like on my days off, I don't want to check social media because I really don't care, because I fall into the news every stinking time I log in. Can you believe what these people are doing? You know what God's like? Can I believe what you're doing? You're winding yourself up on something you can't change. You threw your ping pong ball in when you voted. Now, don't worry about it. Pray about it and roll on. You can't change it. You get mad, fearful, or anything else. Well, we need to stockpile food. How much are you going to stockpile the next 40 years of your life? So like, at what point is it just all for nothing? But what if we learn to sit down and rest and go, you know what, God, you will never leave me or forsake me. In this world, I need to take a day and just remember that. God, I need to remember to have fun, that you created me to have dominion over this world. And sometimes, have you ever made this statement? I just don't feel like I have any time. It's because you've let your life take dominion over you and you didn't take dominion over your life. Here's my challenge to you. It's pretty simple. Now, I know there are asterisks, man. There are times we work on Saturday, or I mean Sunday, right? My challenge to you this morning is to take godly control back of your life. When it's time to play the beat as hard as you can play it. Monday, man, be driven. Tuesday, be driven. Wednesday, be driven. Thursday, be driven. Friday, kill it. So we've got meeting Monday, tackle Tuesday, wrap up Wednesday, vision Thursday. What's that? Fabulous Friday. Are you calling stuff out now? No, see, Friday to me is really, I want to call it panic day, but it's not. But it, for me, it's tying up every loose end. Then I call it semi-off Saturday, because if I need to work on Saturday, then I have to take Friday off because I have to have a day of rest. But if I don't have to, then I'll work on Friday and I'll take Saturday off. And Saturday for me, you know, is a day off. So I try to get my yard mowed. I try to get the junk done around the house so that when I get up Saturday morning, my wife and I can just go do what we want to do. I want to go get a Big B coffee at some point during the day because it makes me happy. And I know it's caffeine and not healthy, but it makes me smile. When I come out of there with my girly coffee with whipped cream and chocolate on top, I drink it and I grin because it makes me happy. And I really don't care how it makes anybody else feel. It makes me happy. Then I will go home and I will put something on the grill because that makes me happy. And then I will use voodoo and I will buy an old 1980 something movie because they make me happy. And sometimes I watch the same movie every weekend because it makes me happy. And you know what? When I get up on Sunday, because Sunday for us should be slam dunk. It did not feel like slam dunk this morning. Can I just get a witness from leadership people? It felt more like torture Sunday, right? Like if it can go wrong, it will. Like Murphy and Satan had a baby, and it was called this morning pre-service. But can I say this? I think part of that attack, and I do feel like it was an attack, was this, because it wants to take us out of a rhythm of a slam dunk. Because when I'm well-rested, man, imagine if you went into your work well-rested. Imagine if your kids went in refreshed. Imagine if you and your spouse took time to talk about the vision for the next week. I believe this. I believe that we really need to lean into taking a Sabbath. I think part of that Sabbath is coming to church, because you can't look to God if you don't go to His house. Now, whether you go online, and we welcome people that are online. We know we got some folks that are out sick this morning, and folks that are probably watching this delayed because they're searching for somebody. Thank y'all for doing that. But I'm going to say this, man. Part of your Sabbath needs to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be taken in the things of God. I think that that's part of that rest. But then I think the rest of the day should be spent connecting with your family and doing what's really, really important to your family, and that's loving each other. You can have the biggest house, and if you're not rested and connected, what does it matter? If mama's always stressed out, and if dad's this far from snapping on somebody, it's probably because he's tired. Yeah, but I slept for 8 hours. Yeah, but I'm talking about your mind. God created us to reset. Again, I'm not saying it has to be Sunday, but it has to be a day each week. It has to be a God-focused day and a vision-focused day and a recovery day. I know what I'm preaching isn't going to change your world. Like you're not going to leave here and be like, Pastor, that's the deepest message I've ever heard. But here's the problem. It's something we have to roll into the DNA of our lives. We have to roll it into the DNA of our children. We may have to look at our children and go, hey, honey, I know you want to play soccer, volleyball, t-ball, badminton, tiddlywinks, and hand grenade school. But you're going to have to pick two because we're going to take a season off. Mom and Dad can't go to the park every weekend because honestly, you're not that good. No, I'm just kidding. Don't put that part in. That's bad for their self-esteem. But are you tracking with what I'm saying? I wrestled in high school. I don't think my dad missed a match that I can remember. But can I say this? That's not what made me who I am. It's times with my family. It's time connecting with people. That's what made the character of who I am. And were sports great? Man, I love sports. I hung out with the band people, but only because I have no rhythm. Y'all know me. I can't sing and I can't play. I can play a little bit of Wanted Dead or Alive. That's it. That's all I got for you. A little Smoke on the Water. A little Stairway to Heaven. We can't sing that because they were like super satanic. Tracking with me? And I just wonder what your life would be like if you built in a rhythm of rest. As we come to close, for the folks online here in house, I'm just, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, here's the thing, you can rest all you want to, but if you're not in relationship with God, you're not really ever going to have the fulfillment of what rest really looks like. Because not only does your body and your mind need that rest, but your soul needs that rest, and it's only found in Jesus. If you're here this morning or watching online, you say, you know what, Pastor, I hear you, man. I know I need to rest, but what I really need to do is connect with God. I need to dedicate my life to God. I need to give myself to God. Ask Him to wash away my sins and make me right with Him. I need to be saved. I need God to save me for myself. If that's you this morning, will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you. Whether you're online or here in house, for those that raise their hand, can we just pray together? Romans says this, that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. We never want to leave a service without giving you an opportunity to experience the greatest moment of your life, and that's knowing that you can spend an eternity with God. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Thank you, online folks, for coming so much. I know this is not the deepest message, but I do believe it has the ability to change your life. When you start stacking these messages up on top of each other and putting them in play, where you are a year from now will not be where you're sitting today, in a good way. So I want to thank our online folks for joining us this morning. Man, we just pray you have an amazing week. We can't wait to see you next week. If you're sick, know that we're praying for you. If you're one of our first responders, man, thank you so much for serving our community and God this morning. Know that we're praying for you as well. God bless you. Have an amazing week.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.